This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And Nick Sirianni, pretty much every Tuesday at this point, brought to us by Bud Light. Join John Johnson this Friday night at Creekside Sports Bar for a Bud Light Eagles pep rally. Win tickets to the next Eagles home game and, of course, meet an Eagles player. And let's talk to the head coach of the now 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
We're doing all right, Nick. Doing all right. So, Nick, I guess you got to be doing better now that you found out the news on Lane Johnson. Let's start with the immediate, and then we'll go back here. But the news yesterday that it should not be a long-term injury and perhaps a very short-term injury, it's got to be a big sigh of relief for you.
Shoot, yeah. Anytime you lose one of your best players and one of the best players in the NFL, you're hoping that it's not a long-term thing. And obviously, the news came out that was the case. We'll see where Lane is later this week, but I know he'll do everything he can do to play in this football game, and he knows how much we need him, and he knows how important he is to this football team, and doing everything he can do to play this week. So we'll see as the week goes on.
Nick, let's get to the game as it was on Sunday versus the Jets, and let's start with this. Looking back on it, do you feel you abandoned the run or minimized the run too early in the game?
You know, the way that the stats play out or anything with the run-pass ratio play out, like there's runs that are called that could get tossed out to the perimeter based off of the box count, right? That happened probably about 3 or 4 times. Some things we consider runs, but they're forward passes. You know, we had one run where we just pitched it out to Boston on Boston's long carry to the 2 minute drive, and you know that sometimes that's even a forward pass right there, but it that one ended up being a backwards pass, and so there's things like that you do to get the ball on the perimeter on your perimeter run game that count as runs for us. And then, you know, some things get skewed too when, you know, the turnovers were the big issue, obviously. It's hard to turn the ball over 4 times and win the game. But, you know, when a drive stalls out or stops because of a turnover, you know, it's tough to get those run numbers up as well. And so I wouldn't say that we had any regrets on how it played out. I thought we did a nice job moving the football. And the credit to the Jets, they created some turnovers and we contributed to those as well, obviously. So I think it more the issue was, you know, the turnovers, and that stops drives, your run numbers go down, and then also just some of the things that we count as runs that maybe the public or the stat sheet doesn't count as runs for us.
It just looked like the 19-play drive, I think there were 18 of those plays up until the final run for the score were passes, and it just looked like the staff decided that throwing the football was the way that you wanted to attack the Jets' defense, and we were wondering why did passing give the offense a better chance to move the football against the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll have to defend a 19-play drive where we just passed it the whole time. We went down and scored there. Like I said, I kind of think I just kind of explained myself as far as, you know, the runs and the pass. Mm-hmm. The pass is right there. The problem, but at the end of the day, the problem was not, in my opinion, the run-pass ratio. The problem was the turnovers, and that's what we got to get fixed.
So Devontae Smith with the drops, other things like the substitution, some things felt uncharacteristically sloppy. Why so many mistakes in this game?
Talk to me about the substitution, please.
Substitution?
You said substitution.
You said the drops and then the substitution. I was just trying to clarify that one.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I'm just thinking, there were...
The defensive one?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
There was a defensive one. We had
12 men on the field.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That was a major mistake by us. They ended up getting the first down on that play. They ended up getting on the first down on the play with 12 guys on the field. But, you know, obviously I'm never happy when we try to change personnel when the guys are going fast. So that one was on us Sean and I had we had talk about that one. But as far as the drops, you know, someone sent me something about with Devontae, like you're always trying to figure out what the fundamental reason was for the drop, right? Or something like that with anything. Why did a fumble happen? What's the because one of the worst coaching points in the world, in my opinion, is catch the ball. Right. Don't fumble the ball. Well, we got to tell these guys why they fumbled and what was the core fundamental of why we fumbled or why we dropped the ball. And so I think with the Devontae drop, he said it perfectly. Just, you know, nothing really, just catch the ball. Like there wasn't anything on that play where I thought he took his eye off it early, where it was above his head and he didn't have his thumbs together. He had his pinkies. Like it wasn't anything like that. He just had an uncharacteristic drop, and those are going to happen when you get the target share that Devonta has. Those are going to happen as much as you hate it, sometimes it happens on a play where you might have gained 4 yards. Sometimes it happens on a play where it might have gained 10 yards. This one just so happened to be on one that would have been a big one, and he knows that, and no one spends more time on the jugs machine with the coaches catching extra balls than Devonta. Like, he uses every tool that we have available to him to catch the ball. We have a ball on a string that you throw out and it rips back to you, right? He uses every tool available to him to make sure that he's getting his catches. And sometimes that just happens. You wish you could explain, hey, this was the fundamental reason you have, but sometimes drop shifts happen. And it was sloppy. It was that's a good observation. It was sloppy. With a couple of the drops, and then obviously with the turnovers, that's where it became even more sloppy.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Nick Sirianni here with us. Nick, let's get to Jalen, who I thought for a good portion of the game played very, very well. And then things kind of started drifting as the game went on. And I'm wondering, one thing we've seen this year quite a bit is him escaping the pocket early, what I would call unnecessarily. Certainly there are times he's got to get the heck out of there. We see that. But sometimes it looks like he perceives pressure that's not there and rolls right early. Why do you think that's going on, and what can you do to try to stem that tide and get him to stick in that pocket a little more and just step up?
Yeah, you always want to try to throw on rhythm as much and be on schedule in the pass game as much as you possibly can, right? Because in this league, if you're not throwing on rhythm, two things happen, right? The coverage gets a little tighter if you throw the ball late, right? Or the rush gets home. Now there's different reasons why you have to escape based off of what's happening, right? There could be a stunt that our offensive line is going to pick up perfectly, but you know, it looks like the guys, you know, penetrating the line of scrimmage and Jalen has to flush. Even though sometimes we pick that up, there's things like that that, you know, he's playing a position that, you know, only so many guys in the world can do really well. And so there are times like that where you see what he sees and say that. And there's definitely times where you're like, that you want him to do that exactly what you're talking about, slide or step in, up in the pocket and rip it. But he's made so many plays for us, so many different ways. Like, you know, his instincts take over. He's a highly instinctive player, and his instincts take over. And again, when we feel like he leaves the pocket early, obviously we talk about it and we correct it. But sometimes you have to wait until after and watching the game with him. I think the evaluation of the game together tells you a lot of the story, or what you talk about on the sideline tells you a lot of the story of his perspective on it. And so, again, you don't want to take that playmaking ability away. But I think I've said this early on, you don't want to play the entire game where you're bailing out of the pocket, and you don't want to take that playmaking ability away of when he does bail out of pocket. So there's a balance. And I think through these last and we talked a lot about this in 2021, through these last 3 years, I think he's gotten much better at making plays, obviously, in the pocket. You saw, you know, and so, again, but there is a balance that you don't want to take some of his playmaking ability away.
Nick, you said yesterday that Jalen's interception where his arm was hit was 100% on you. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, again, I don't want to get too much into the strategy of it. It just was the design, the depth, the design of the play. Like you saw that Jalen had to hold it a bit longer to let that play completely develop. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't. And again, anything with a design of the play is always going to be on myself. You know, as we go in there into the game plan room, and we sit in there and we come up with plays, we have to think through every little thing, and we try to as much as we possibly can, but you're always going to want plays back on calls. You know, I know Brian's going to want calls back. I'm going to want calls back that maybe I suggest to him at a time or two. And you're always going to want things back on designs. That's the, like, no one plays the perfect game, right? No player plays a perfect game, and no coach coaches a perfect game. What's critical is you got to put yourself on the hot seat every single time that a mistake's made. And so, that you just get better, right? And so we don't make a similar mistake again. Again, I don't want to get too much into the scheme of it. I just felt like the design that I put in for that one and discussed with the offensive coaches, I didn't like that design, and we had to hold the ball a tick longer and put Jack in a difficult spot.
Nick, what do you make of score? Just big picture question. Scoring being down around the league right now, have defenses sort of cracked the code a little bit to where they're ahead of offenses right now? And what's it going to take as the mastermind of this offense to swing the pendulum back to where the offenses are more on top like last year?
Yeah, good question. I don't think we're far off, and I don't know the exact numbers. I think it's still early in the year for that, and I don't think we're far off of what we averaged last year. I know the 14-point game that we just had obviously takes our average down again. And I don't know where we rank in the league, but I know we're not that far off of where we were last year. But it is interesting. It is interesting. I think one thing you can always point to a little bit now is that early on in the season, defenses are ahead of offenses a little bit, right? Just like they are early on in training camp and early on in your OTAs. It's just the way, you know, every time we have a training camp practice, I talk to my dad. I'm like, I don't know how we did on offense days. Like, well, defense is usually in front of the offense at this point. And so he reminds me of that year in, year out. And I think that's a little bit of the case in the early parts of the season as well. And so I think sometimes it's just it's a small sample size and we're early on in the season. But you know, I think that's, you know, just part of it right at this time. And so we'll see how that trend continues on. As far as us, we're just going to keep going to work, try to put our players in the best positions to make plays, try to continue to increase our fundamentals. Because at the end of the day, you know, we try to put them in positions to make plays, and then their talent and their fundamentals to go out and make the play and execute the play. We just got to keep getting better at those things and growing each day with that.
Hey, Nick, let's talk about your purpose and intent, you know, post game with the guys and not addressing them in the locker room, which was fascinating. You know, I know two basketball coaches that did things unconventionally, John Wooden and Phil Jackson. They did not like taking the first time out in a game, and they liked when their players were in a spot to kind of empower the players to work through it and figure it out. And they thought it made them better as the season would go on. And I'm curious, what was your intent and your strategy with not talking to the guys in the locker room? And was it about trying to empower them to have them look at each other and figure some stuff out?
You know, as I came in from my locker, they were, you know, from my locker room into the main locker room, they were already talking. And, you know, I say a lot of the times to the players, hey, I'm not holding coaching points back from you. The best coaching points that I got, you know, I'm already going to say. So, like, I say that in offense meaning a lot. You know, hey, it's okay that you know exactly what I'm going to say. Like, that's, to me, that's what good coaching is. Hey, they know exactly what I'm going to say. They can say it, boom. Because that's how the game's played, right? You try to prepare them as much as you possibly can with the information. You don't want to overload information, but you're trying to prepare them for as much information as you can going into the week so they're prepared. And then they got to go out and they got to execute. And so you don't want to hide coaching points in your pocket. And I think that was the same case here. Like, in this particular case, they knew what the standard was. They knew, you know, how important it is. Like, everything I would have said right there was things they were already saying. Hey, that wasn't up to our standard. Hey, but we got to pick ourselves up and go again. Like, and that to me is exactly what you want in that. Like, what am I going to clout? What am I going to say after they've said everything I'm going to say? And at the beginning. And so I thought that was a really unique, I was really pleased with that and really happy that was going on, because they know, you know, they know. And that's a benefit of having great leaders on your team. You know, we have a lot of captains. I think I took some heat early on that we have too many captains. Well, we have too many captains or we have a lot of captains because we got a lot of guys that can lead. And then we got a lot of guys on the leadership council too that didn't get voted captain that are on this leadership council that we meet every Saturday with our team about. So, you know, it is, you know, the players, you know, they take ownership in it. And that's what you want, because, you know, that they're the ones out there making the plays and going through it. And I just thought I was really happy. I thought that the one thing I could take out of that game where I'm like, it's hard to be happy after a game like that, I tell you that, as everybody knows. But that's one thing I was really, really pleased about, that, you know, our guys know we got great leaders. And so I know, based off of that and based off of who we have on this team, exactly what practice is going to be like tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all right, and then leading into Sunday.
Nick, good luck on Sunday. Should be quite a game against Miami. You got to contain that Tyreek Hill guy. 3 touchdowns last time against you 2 years ago. So,
yep.
Good
yep.
luck. I guess he's better.
On it.
He's better than Nick Sirianni, the college wide receiver, I assume, right?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Nick, good luck to you on Sunday. See you, man. Take
care. All right, thank you guys.
All right, there he is. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. All